Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood, joins us courtesy of PNC Insurance on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ryan, appreciate it, man. First, got to ask, the Trevor Davis reported trade, can you confirm anything as to Trevor Davis now being traded reportedly to the Oakland Raiders?
No, we're still looking, working to confirm, but I'm a little surprised. I mean, he's a guy, our Tom Silverstein wrote just yesterday that with his speed, his fluidity, in this offense that is really reliant and built on kind of quick slants and getting the ball to guys underneath in open space and let them create after the catch, he would have seemed to be a guy that would have fit pretty well in that construct. Now, what this probably indicates is that Darius Shepard's a guy that is going to be one playing in some special teams and maybe down the road is someone that can fill some of those offensive snaps. Remember, Tremont Smith is also a guy that they claim from Kansas City, a cornerback, but he has returnability in the past. So there's a couple different ways that they could fill the big kind of glaring hole now is that in the return game. It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. I mean, Trevor Davis was having a pretty good year so far, and really, you traded away your only proven return guy. I don't know what they get for him—a sixth round pick, fifth round pick. I mean, I don't. It was just shocking for me.
It's probably going to be a late round pick if history is any indication. Again, we haven't seen what the compensation is, and have been able to confirm that the trade's gone through. But I'm with you, Gary. I was a little surprised myself, and if anything, it probably indicates what they feel about Darius Shepard. Look, they kept Darius Shepard on the roster despite not just being a tryout guy. I mean, let alone not – he was an undrafted rookie free agent that signed right after the draft. He's a tryout guy. But keep in mind, too, that he was also injured with a hamstring at the time. So they kept him on the roster despite being injured as an undrafted rookie. They clearly like the guy. I mean, they clearly think that he can give them something. So, you saw him pretty, he was able to produce as a returner in the preseason. If he is now next man up, it's a lot different being an undrafted rookie returner in the regular season. But that's something that's clearly they think that he can, or maybe Tremont Smith can provide for them.
Yeah, that about Tremont Smith. I just saw Tom Silverstein tweeted out that he was fourth in kickoff returns for the Chiefs last year when he was back there returning kicks as far as average return yards go. I knew he was a returner. I didn't realize he was that good of a returner.
Yeah, no, he got a lot of run there and he produced. So certainly as far as kickoffs go, I think that the bigger question is who's the punt returner. Tremont Smith most likely going to be the kickoff returner, I would imagine, week three. And we'll see how he does.
Yeah, the thing about for me, now this is just me, I think you gotta, I don't know many people would let a guy go that can move in space and do two positions, receiver and returner. Put that aside. I think a lot of people still think that they need more help at wide receiver. They're creating space. They finna go trade for another receiver, I think. That's just me talking. Otherwise, you need weapons. You need weapons.
Kumo Roe.
Like I said, man, you need weapons. We're not talking about preseason, Steve, okay? We're talking about the real thing now. You need weapons at wide receiver. If you're going to move a guy that's that fast and quick, okay, great, and you return, great. But what's the plan for somebody in this offense that can be dynamic? Because we've seen these guys first 2 weeks, and it's not working. So I think it has to be you creating space for another wide receiver, either a trade or somebody can come in that can be a receiver, because the second receiver right now is just all over the place because he's trying to give it to MVS. He's just not hadn't taken advantage of it.
Well, and I'll refer again to the Tom Silverstein piece on PackersNews.com. If you haven't read it, read it, because I thought a brilliant point that Tom made that I hadn't even thought of until I read it was the receivers that they have now, that this receiving core as a group, you look at the collective, it's really built on that size. They have great size, great height, great length, great catch radius. Those are things that in the former offense with Mike McCarthy are really important things, because that offense is really built on what? It's built on winning your one-on-ones. Well, in this offense, what's it built on? It's built on yak. It's built on catching the ball and making plays with the ball in your hands after the catch. And Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is fast in a straight line sort of way, but not the most elusive guy. Geronimo Allison, not the best 40 time. Those are big receivers that can win one-on-one because they can overpower DB, but they're not the guys that you think of when you think of yak. And again, Trevor Davis is. So, they're trading away one of the few guys that they have that can pick up yards after the catch. I would have to think that there's going to be another move coming before the late October trade deadline to try to get more guys that can run after the catch from a receiver standpoint.
Agreed.
This is the thing here. I mean, he's making a lot of money. This isn't you're making a lot of money and you're not producing, so we have to get rid of you. As far as I know, he wasn't a bad dude or a problem in the locker room, so that's not what this is either. You couldn't have moved on from a different wide receiver at the bottom of the roster versus moving on from Trevor Davis. That's, I guess, where my thing is. If this is about finding another wide receiver, you could move somebody else other than him and still kept him as a kicker or a punt returner. If this is about finding somebody else at a different position and letting a Kumerow play more than he's played in the past or a Shepard play in the past because you think both of them can be better than Trevor Davis, then that makes more sense to me.
I think Oakland initiated it. That's a good question to ask when next time you get in front of these boys, Ryan. Who initiated this? Because that would be something to know. Then we'll know kind of where this was going. Because Oakland may say, man, they're not using the guy. I mean,
and he also put up five catches and scored a touchdown against them in that preseason game.
Bingo. Let's make a phone.
They saw him up close. That's right. That preseason game is when he really earned the spot on the Packers 53.
Right.
Keep in mind this, too, though. Trevor Davis, last year, he played two games. His rookie year, he missed five games with injury. He's really only had one healthy season, and he missed most of training camp as well. So he's obviously got a long and extensive injury history. This could also be a team that got an offer that they couldn't refuse and wanted to cash in on value before another injury happens, and before that value diminished because of the injury history. I mean, you can't separate that with Trevor Davis either. It's the fact that he has really struggled staying healthy, staying on the field. So it's harder to say without knowing what the other side of this trade is. I mean, it just obviously went down within the hour, but that's something to also consider.
Let's just move on a little bit from that. Let's talk about the offensive line issues with LaFleur. Where do you think this is going to go at guard with Lane Taylor?
Well, I think eventually you're going to see Elton Jenkins as the starter. I don't know how soon that'll be. It was interesting that Matt LaFleur had just zero interest in talking about Elton Jenkins today when asked a very direct question about what he thought about how he played in Minnesota. I don't know if there's anything to read into that or not as far as if there's a changing of a guard coming, but you're probably going to see for the next couple of weeks some rotating. But long term, this organization has made it very clear Elton Jenkins is the guy long term at the guard spot. They want him starting. They want him playing snaps. It's really just a matter of when.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, our Green and Gold football insider. Ryan, at this point today, the offense is towards the bottom part of the league, and they're only averaging like 5 yards per play or whatever you want to do with the per play averages. But they're only giving up like 5.5 yards per play.
when does this balance out, or when do you see those both kind of coming back to a mean, or is that defensive prowess that we've seen in the first 2 weeks what we should be able to expect all year long?
It's going to be really interesting next week. Not this week, but next. I mean, this week they got Joe Flacco. They want to. They should absolutely dominate a Joe Flacco offense. But when they have Carson Wentz come to town, that it'll be really interesting to see how this defense plays against a good quarterback. I'm not sure they've seen a good quarterback yet. Mitch Trubisky isn't. Kirk Cousins has good moments. He's had good games against some pretty poor Packers defenses in the past. I don't know that you'd call him a good quarterback, though. Carson Wentz next week is a good quarterback when the Eagles come to town on the Thursday night. That'll be, to me, a real test to see just how good this defense is. This week's not a good test. Joe Flacco's not a good quarterback. So, really, you're starting as three guys. I mean, those aren't your top end, your top tier guys. Now, on the other side, I think it's an inexact timeline. I don't know if even Matt LaFleur can say, it'll be X date when our offense gets rolling. It's what you're wanting to see from now until whenever that date is improvement, incremental improvement each week to feel like this offense is better this week than it was the week prior. And you got that week one to week two. Now, there's still a whole lot more room to grow and need for improvement on this offense, but you got the improvement. So, as long as they're doing that, I think that they'll feel like they can get to where they need to be by year's end or even by midseason. It's just a matter of not taking any steps back.
How would you grade the Packers' offensive line play through two games with more pass-rushing guys coming at them for the Denver Broncos this Sunday?
You got to grade it on a curve, right? Because they've seen Khalil Mack, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter. They've seen those guys early in the season, Akeem Hicks. So with that said, look, have they given up more sacks than they'd like? Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. They did hold up, I think, a whole lot better, and part of the improvement was that the offensive line was better against the Vikings than they were against the Bears. A big reason for that might be just the fact that they were at home and they weren't in a hostile environment on the road. I don't know as far as a letter grade. It's been pretty close to, I guess, average. I mean, they've given up a lot, but they've also – you got to grade it on a curve. They're playing against some serious dudes on the edge, and those are some guys that give a lot of offensive lines fits.
Ryan, can't wait to talk about it again on Friday. We'll preview it and get a prediction from you, Packers and Broncos, for the 2-0 first place, Green Bay Packers. Looking forward to it. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, as he always does. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.